Hello, welcome to Misadventures, a Gloomhaven podcast brought to you by Game Republic Radio. This episode contains spoilers for scenario number 44 and scenario number 76. This episode also contains spoilers for class number 8, class number 13, and class number 16. Please enjoy responsibly. So there we were, watching Charles actually be useful. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Misadventures. Good to have you back with us. As always, we will start things off with a quick round of introductions. My name is Casey. I am playing Sherlock, the Elementalist.
I am Garrett. I am playing Herdnerfer, the Scoundrel.
I am Skip. I'm playing Maytal, the Quattril Soothsinger.
And I'm Steve. I'm playing as Brittany, the Quartermaster.
So last time we kind of went through a bit of a
Charles scenarios sucked.
There. Yeah, Charles.
There was hard
Charles,
feelings.
Charles.
Yeah.
Charles caused some problems in our life, but we did have one more scenario to go with Charles before we could be rid of him. So we might as well just rip the bandaid off and get it over with. We survived the first time. How bad can the second time be, right?
Well, apparently all Charles needed was a weapon and some food, because holy crap.
Well, hold on. Rewind just a second. So, you know, we're getting to Steve's apartment and, you know, Casey's kind of setting stuff up and he's like, hey, holy crap, guys, I accidentally peeked ahead and I think this Charles thing is going to be worth it. Because had he not started with that, there might have been a mutiny. I'm not sure. You know, we didn't get that far. But, you know, honestly, either way, we're going to see the Charles thing through, right? Like, just see where this goes.
It could be
worse, you would think.
In the book, the rewards box is right next to the maps you need box. So it's kind of hard to miss that whole part. But
yeah, it's not great.
That's why you should have been using the app that day.
Well, somebody provided the app where it needed to be when I got there.
Oh, wow.
It also sounded pretty good. It sounded pretty good because you also said Charles didn't necessarily had to live through this one, right? Wasn't that this one?
Yeah, that's true.
So that wasn't as you know, gut punching as the end of the last one was.
Unfortunately, we could not directly damage Charles, which kind of sucks.
I don't know. It's kind of okay with that in this mission.
Yeah. So this is the tribal assault mission scenario 44.
So this is us on our way to a thing, and Charles is like, hey, we can also like rescue a village if you guys are down.
They're like, eh, sure, I guess.
I mean, if it's on the way.
Yeah, we try to be good at when it's on our path and we have to.
I was assuming he was going to charge into like fire or something and then just watch us charge in after him.
This is an interesting setup. We're going as Inox guards, Inox archers, hounds, and Inox shaman. And there's a bunch of like slaves.
Hostages.
Yeah, hostages on the board. And the bad guys are just going to aggro to them and start attacking them. So we had to get to them to get them off and keep them all alive. It's kind of like one of those XCOM missions where you have to save all the people without the really annoying dudes in people disguises.
Yeah, the only difference is we don't get like a grace amount of deaths. Like we lose one, we lose the whole scenario.
Somehow also less RNG than in an XCOM game. but we knew if only we had someone who could go fast and run places
and Herd
put their body
selfless as balls in this mission.
One time but forgot who she was.
Charles was somehow faster.
Charles was in charge. Oh, yeah. He was going on a one, right?
Yes.
Charles was angry, on a one, man.
And it was moving three and attacking for three at the beginning every turn.
I'm sure he was just tired of us talking trash to him, like directly to his face.
Right.
Because he was an a-hole.
Oh, yeah. No, he earned it back.
Yeah.
Yep. So, you know, we decide we opened up the first room and the first room, did the entranceway have hostages? Was that all a connected first room, or do we have to open a door to that?
No, it was all connected.
And so we knew we had to get back there. We had to break it up because there were all the hostages. They were all surrounded. There's a ton of different stuff. We had four elite Inox guards, a normal Inox guards, elite Inox archers, elite hound, and two normal hounds. And of course, all the hounds are hanging out together because they're bad people, right?
And the guards are just in a line blocking off the whole map.
Yeah.
So Charles pushes up and takes the first hit. Doesn't kill anything, but deals some good damage.
Yeah.
Because he was drawn off of Skip's deck.
Yes.
Skip's character isn't a big heavy attacker, so we're like, dude, you got it. Plus you had those plus fours.
Yep. Two plus fours and a couple plus threes, I think, and all kinds of curses in there.
Oh, yeah. Skip's got like the best attack deck out of all of us and no cards to use it with. So it was kind of perfect for this, you know?
Oh yeah.
And you know, you mentioned earlier about Charles. He starts as a 3-3, three attack, three move. But
three
for
range,
every
I think, right?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah.
But for every hostage that is freed, he goes up in attack. So immediately we know what we have to do. You know, like already we have to free these guys quickly so they don't get killed. But we can see the snowball forming, right?
Yeah, so it's a nice little bonus there on top of it. Yeah.
I jump to the back, start trying to shuffle. Oh, go ahead.
Just for reference, there are five hostages in this first room.
Yes.
Yes.
So he's attacking at an eight after this room.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's also an enemy next to almost all of the hostages.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
So we got to move quick.
But luckily, a lot of them are like one space apart, so I'm able to get in the back and, you know, aggro several at the same time while, you know, Brittany kind of starts working on the wall of men. I think I watched that video.
Whoa.
But no, that's what it was. I mean, there's the wall of guards and you just ran up there and started trying to break through.
Basically to pull aggro so that they don't break past or break back to get on the hostages that were there, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, Maytal. Mm.
Girl.
You put down that Retaliate song, which seriously probably won us the campaign.
Yeah, so I think we mentioned last time Retaliate we found to be a really, really good song. We felt like it probably does a lot more damage than you would assume, and we actually tracked it in this scenario.
Wait, you want to give the count at the end?
Yeah, we'll give the damage count at the end.
There's the hook right there. Stay tuned for the full
damage
nice of Retaliate.
That everybody in this was melee characters, too. That really...
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
That triggered it.
That Retaliate's also range two, which is super useful. And then Sherlock's, you started on your normal ramp up.
Yeah. Standard protocol.
Yep. Get those elements going. Get a few early attacks in.
We'll see. Yeah. So Charles actually kills a guard. Like, second turn, Charles has done something.
Does more in two turns than he did in the entire last scenario.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, part of that is like Herd moving up to get those hostages actually freed one of them in the process, which gave Charles an immediate boost. So he's hitting for four now.
Yep. And the first two hostages I got up to were right next to each other. So I was able to pivot from one to the other, kind of turns back to back, and get his damage boosted really quickly.
Yeah. You also smashed a wolf in the face with a trap, if I recall.
I really like doing that.
I would have noticed, yeah.
You're really good
at
it, too.
We like you doing that, too, so if that helps.
It's 2 XP every time I do it, but also I'm max level now, so I've just quit counting EXP. Because, you know, I don't have to rub it in people's face like some, you know, fruits.
Except for right now.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know.
I mean, you just assumed you couldn't live up to the brute's challenge, and so you just stopped counting.
Oh-ho.
However, it feels like you've been 9 for a little while now. So,
yeah.
Unless you plan on ending the entire campaign as the scoundrel, it's not even going to come close to what mine is going to end up at. I keep rolling the dial every single time we play it. So
that's true.
It's true.
I don't know. It's possible that we haven't seen many cultists or bandits. I mean, I saw some bandits, but
I think I'm going to be around for the duration. But yeah, whatever. That's fine. Let's carry on.
So we had an elite guard in the center right next to a hostage that I think you were tied up with a wolf still. So it was going to be a problem. But I think Maytal came in and stunned that one, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. It was probably one of the triple because there might have been somebody else around or not. I knew it needed to be disarmed or stunned. I couldn't remember which one it was. But
yeah, but that bought us a turn, which was good because otherwise... Yeah. That hostage might have been in trouble.
The hostages had 6 HP, is that correct?
No, they had more than that. They had like 12, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you've also got, you know, a handful of elites and the wolves that can pack up and stuff. So they could take them down in 2 to 3 turns if they hit well.
Yeah.
And we weren't allowed to heal them or do anything to them except free them, right? Yeah, that was kind of troubling.
They didn't count as allies, but they weren't enemies. They were just
there. Things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Destructible obstacles, if you will.
we finally got enough elements to zot on a garden and archer.
And I ended up using a jump move and land on a trap and basically pull aggro off some hostages and free one of them.
There was some rules lawyering in that move, if I recall correctly.
Yes, because I wasn't sure how the trap damage worked, if you ended your turn on it or not, but the rules do stipulate if you enter it without jump or fly, it'll trigger. Otherwise, it won't.
Yep, so you were good.
Mm. And I used that again in a different scenario.
It's, you know, just really playing to the worst of us with the rules. That's okay.
I mean, is it, though?
Nah.
So Sherlock's starting to deal some heavy damage. Charles drops another guard. Herd frees another hostage.
At this point, Charles is dropping whatever he looks at.
He's up to like 6 damage a hit or something now.
Yeah.
And that's before Skip's massive modifiers that go all the way up to +4, for God's sake. I mean, you know, he was hitting for 10 on a non-crit potentially, right?
Yeah. I think by the time we got rid of all of the or cleared out all the hostages, there was like one wolf maybe left. Mm-hmm. And we all started going to other areas to prepare for it, thinking that Charles would actually just wreck him, or at least I would or something. I couldn't remember, but Charles drew like the only miss in my deck. It was like the only time it could happen. And, you know, obviously he was going to take him out the next turn because it was bound that he was going to kill him because, you know, all I do is just sit back and sing songs, you know, nothing big.
I think it's pretty big, which we'll cover that at the end.
Yeah, for sure. But now, so this first room is cleared and Charles is hitting for like an 8.
Yep.
It's pretty beautiful. Now, behind this room, there's a nice little, what would be a treasure room, but here you got to kind of assume it's a jail cell.
Yeah.
But it's a small tile. Figure we'll move on in there before going into the next large room. And inside, it wasn't too bad. We had an elite hound and an elite archer.
And then they died.
Yeah, they did. I jumped in. I put myself between the hostage and the enemies. That way I would aggro them instead because I'm a giver. We've established that.
I mean, you were in this scenario. Like,
I was.
Stop. I'm not even going to argue that. You were Johnny on the spot with the hostages.
Yeah. Felt good about it. You should. I'm gonna be so scummy next time. Oh my god.
Good.
Charles comes on in and does his face wrecking thing, and you know, Sherlock throws some of his fairy wand stuff over there, and then I kill the other one.
This is like fire and ice fairy wand.
Yeah, man.
Stuff.
There's no fairy wands.
Whatever. Sparkles and Hogwarts. I'm not impressed.
Oh, wow. Sparkles and Hogwarts is gonna be the name of the next Beast Tyrant.
Sparkles and Hogwarts.
So we got that.
We're retconning that back into the community campaign.
Yes.
Fair enough.
I'm not sure if we mentioned it, Todd's, like, to actually rescue them, you have to sacrifice something, right?
That's right. You have to pitch either a top or a bottom. I was able to get up to them and then still do some attacks and stuff, but you could only do one or the other.
Yeah, so I mean, enough. Pretty much you were charging into all this hefty nastiness and losing something out of it. This is very un-Tots like, right?
You know, you really can't say enough nice stuff about me in this scenario, if we're being honest.
Well, that's why we were getting the potions into, just, you know, so it didn't hurt as bad.
Yeah. But we get to room 3, and that's like the next big room, and we're feeling pretty good. Like, Charles, he's dealing 9 at this point, I believe.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. We're a little spread out at this point, but not too bad. I think you're coming back from this room.
And I've got super movement. Charles
are stacked up on the door. Yeah.
So I just go all the way from the little jail cell across the other room to the next room. And I said, hey, I'm going to go to the door. And that was not completely understood by my peers. I meant go through the door. They thought I meant stack up. And now the door is open and everything's terrible.
Yeah, there's sure a lot open the door in that room.
Whatever. It was it was really bad. Oh wait, no. Who? Yeah, no. I was gonna go open the door and then Skip opened it, or you opened it.
I opened it because I opened it with like an extra two movement to go into the room if need be, and then realized the need was not to be. I backed out.
It was gross.
You jumped over everything that clogged up, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I kind of jumped back to the back corner thinking we could kind of pinch or attack him. That doesn't
You rescued the hostage in the process. Was the big part of that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there was one hostage in there with lots and lots of bad dudes.
Yeah, yep. It was surrounded by a bunch of real big hitters. So, yeah, got back there and was able to free it right when we opened the door, which is cool. But I'm stuck in a corner with all the bad things.
It worked out, though. Like, Charles started off in some things. Because it did.
I had to pitch, like, three cards.
Well. I'm sorry.
No.
Did we lose any hostages?
We did not lose any hostages.
I'd say it worked out, then.
In that room, we had two normal Inox guards, three elite Inox archers, one elite Inox shaman, hooray, and three elite hounds. One thing you'll notice when you play this campaign for yourselves, Inox all look alike.
That's not even like a racial thing. As the certified Inox of the group, they all look alike. They've got the same green background behind them all. It's really confusing.
We were consistently throughout the night confusing archers and shamans, and it was just kind of irritating. Differentiator there.
I mean, if you look at them, they're pretty different.
Oh, my God.
There's like one guy facing left, there's one guy facing right, and then there's one guy like facing right but looking left.
And then there was a guard looking down because Charles shot him once and then he was dead.
Charles one shot, like starts one-shotting things and it's beautiful. And I think this was where you got one of your big AoE attacks, Casey.
Yeah, there's a nice little formation in there. So I just...
They were clogging
fairy up dusted all over them. Just all in there.
We ended up having to back up into that room too, didn't we? Like into the main room?
Well, a little bit, but let them come out. I had like a push move that kind of affected all adjacent things. And we ended up doing that, which I think cleared the path for Tots to come back out.
Yeah, I had to pitch two or three cards. Yeah. And so then it was, hey, guys, move back. I got to run.
Because you don't have any jump. Die. Yeah.
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 You went clear back to the opposite side of the room. Like,
if you're going to do it right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But we, we fell back and licked our wounds and got some health back. And
however, doing that left Charles a little bit exposed.
I mean, he was aggressive. Tanking.
He was aggressive and he had more things to kill. And he was doing that, but then he got shot with some arrows and Charles ran out of hit points, guys.
He only had 18 health. I mean, I say only. That was probably a fair amount of health for where we are. But
sure, but they were all elites, and when he's the only one getting attacked, you know, that's bad news bears.
But, he was going in there and dealing up some retaliate damage in the process before he went down. So,
and we did check the rules to see if we could pitch a card for him. We could not.
Yeah. Oddly enough, considering what he did to us in the previous one, that we consider pitching a card for this this person. Yeah. But he was a mighty hitter.
He redeemed himself in my eyes, at least.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, we said a quiet prayer for him after he died, but can't spend too much time. There's still things to kill.
That there are, my friend.
So Herd and Brittany,
it's what Charles would want us to do.
It is.
Well, he's not dead. He's just, he had to pull back. He's wounded.
Right. He's too busy to die right now.
Yeah, yeah. He just he retreats into the trees, and we don't know if he's alive or not at this point.
All right.
But Herd and Brittany back in action. We do an elaborate handshake, go through the door. We split up going after like an archer and a shaman, I believe.
That's right.
I think there's a hound left as well, but yeah.
Yeah.
I think you killed the hound.
I did, yeah.
Yep. You're good at burning hounds.
Stupid.
We got that all cleared up, but that's when I kind of realized, I had to pitch a lot. I don't have much left in me, so I'm already kind of making my plan for, guys, I'll be out really soon. I've got a couple turns and I'm out. There's one more small room, the same kind of size as the other jail cell, which had, just two little guys in the last one. So this will be easy. We'll bust in, easy peasy, lemon squeezy. But it was actually hard, lemon hard, because there were three normal Inox guards, an elite Inox shaman, and two hostages in like a 4x4 room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not great.
I mean, you stay true to character as the rest of the scenario, though. You got in there. You pulled aggro. You're like dying.
Yeah.
It's like one of those zombie swarm scenes in a movie.
Yeah. I sacrifice my body. I get in there in between everything, and you guys can then kill the stuff while I'm just trying to stay in their aggro, you know.
I mean, you didn't die, so that was a good thing.
Yeah, no, it was. I made it out with like a hit point or two. It was all
right. I mean, but me and Casey were right behind you. Like, I'm stabbing and shooting things. Casey's burning things up and freezing them.
Just glitter everywhere. yeah, we get him. You know, we get him killed. Sherlock does one of his magic tricks. And we kind of clean up the remaining people, free the final hostages, lament over the fact of, man, imagine how much damage Charles would be doing right now. But that's now when that we the get the good over. News. But before we talk about the good news, let's talk about retaliate damage.
Oh, my
because
God.
Because holy shit.
Skip, Maytal, you want to do this one?
It's all good.
It's in the notes, dude. Yeah, this is all you.
Yeah. Yeah. So the retaliate that was range 2, and we kept track of it. Using a 20-sider and a 6-sider to be the multiples, I guess.
Yeah.
Yep.
Did a whopping 68 damage.
Woo!
In collective.
So yeah, that's
like I don't think it's an exaggeration to say that won us the scenario.
Yeah. I mean, that was the highest damage.
That is so much damage, and it's not like we were. It was not like we were purposely taking hits. It's just you get hit when there's in a four-player scenario, you're going to get hit.
It meant like we were dropping these things that much faster. Like this made all the difference, I think. This would have been a much harder scenario without it.
Yeah. It was good. And then, you know, from the tree line, we hear a faint voice calling to Brittany.
It was more of a cough, just,
hey.
Is that what it sounds like?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Now we have to use that voice for him. So what did we find in the tree line there, Casey?
We found a new buddy willing to help us out and kill things.
That's right.
Do we do spoiler warning right here?
Sure. I think we can just say the picture, right?
Yeah,
we will. But
well, it's still a spoiler for the scenario that we have that.
So blah, 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 spoiler, come back in 30 seconds. So yeah, you can unlock the angry face after this, which is basically Charles.
And yeah, which by the way,
whoever plays him is going to have to be named Charles. So
is that what it's called? By the way, all the forms is angry face.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Yeah. So with that behind us, you know, feeling good, I'm kind of weighing my options of, hey, maybe I'll just retire and take that, but. I'm not giving up that easy. There's bandits that need killing. But before we can kill bandits, our tummies be rumbling. You know what I'm saying?
Do they now? Well, I got just the thing for you.
Casey, what's that thing you say?
What's cooking?
This week we were doing ribeye cheesesteak sliders. Oh, yeah, we made it on like a thing of King's Hawaiian rolls.
Yeah.
Which just has that little bit of delicious sweetness that accentuates everything, and it's amazing.
We've established that King's Hawaiian is cheating, right? Like,
I mean, there wasn't a little bit, by the way. It was straight up delicious, dude. Every bit of it. It was awesome.
But yeah, we also had a pretty phenomenal dessert.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. The sliders have not gotten the attention they deserve yet. Yeah. You're thinking to yourself, oh, they made some sliders. That's cute. No, he went and got steaks and had them sliced in the deli. Cooks them up with some peppers, some onion, and Gouda cheese.
Gouda.
You're really selling yourself short on the slider quality, and I don't want that to happen.
Okay. I appreciate that.
Yeah, man.
But I don't want that to undermine how amazing the dessert was, too.
Yes.
it was all right compared to the sliders. Sliders were fantastic.
What'd you make?
It was strawberry cheesecake Napoleons on vanilla ice cream. So it was just puff pastry with, you know, all the various goodness that makes a awesome strawberry cheesecake, which it was just, you know, it could have been better in my opinion, but I liked it. So,
well, it was real you're good. Welcome to try to better yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I mean, I had to do with Bananas Foster. Go for it.
It was definitely delicious. I had never had a Napoleon. I played it cool and acted like I knew what the hell I was eating. but it was definitely good. And the ice cream, everything was set off really well. Eating it out of a large margarita glass was a little tricky. but it was, it was worth the effort.
Skip.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah, that was now we're fed. Fantastic. Oh, man. We should glue every the evening night.
This is where the evening took kind of a downturn, though.
Yeah. Because then it was time to do a little something different, right? We finished with our buddy Charles, and what are we going to do with our lives now, right?
We should probably spoiler warning this one.
Yeah, we got a spoiler warning coming at you briefly.
I don't even know how you preface this spoiler, though.
No, just you preface it with envelope. And if that's not enough to tip you off, then just come back in 20 seconds.
What about hidden envelope?
Well, sure. Anyway, so this is Harrow or Hive, number 76. And this is the scenario that unlocks by opening the hidden envelope. Because at this point, we felt like we deserved it. And so, yeah, we figured we'd go. Plus, it was like taunting us, like, can you handle it? And like, yeah, right. We can handle it. Even though it is designed by guest designer Matthew G. Summers, you know, we can't just do a normal freaking map. It's going to have some sort of crazy shenanigans with it.
I really hope he's been listening to the podcast and that's why he's doing these community maps. Like, oh, I'm going to get these guys.
This one actually was pretty good, though. I like this one.
Yeah, it was unique in a good way, I would say.
Yeah.
It's still pretty rough, though.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's rough, but we've seen worse.
Yeah. So what's the gimmick in this one?
The gimmick is all the rooms are separated by walls, but you can break down the walls. So you get to kind of choose which way you go and make a hole in the wall wherever you want to, which is kind of cool. And the walls didn't have it only had 6 hit points, so it wasn't that big of a deal.
And just little side note, nobody, had a goofy miss on any of the wall tiles like we had in the doors in the past.
Yeah, we did pretty solid on these whole door things.
But yeah, our goal in this one was reveal all the rooms as well as kill the enemies, right?
Yeah. So yeah, we begin to do that. So the beginning room had no people in it. And so there's basically just two rooms. Which one do we want to go into? And which one? We picked the center room, right? So that we'd have a little bit more options. It's like one connected to other rooms. Yeah, one connected to other rooms and one was just kind of off its own. We figured if we went to the middle one, we could then open the wall of the other room and bring stuff in while we move towards the other rooms we needed to get to, hopefully saving us a little bit of movement.
Yep.
Oh, we should also mention giant vipers, living bones, night demons, and harrower infestors in this one.
Mm.
Somehow I've taken on the responsibility of owning up all the vipers, too. I don't understand that. It must have been
That library the one room was on fire.
Yeah, never forget, Skip. Never
12 forget. Vipers. That was always fun. I thank the bear over and over for saving me, but yeah, okay.
Hey, man, it's cool. But yeah, so the other gimmick too is when we destroy these walls, it stuns any enemies adjacent to it. Mm-hmm. And so that first viper ended up stunned.
Which is a little thing, right? Like, I mean, he sets these guys next to wall pieces on purpose for that to happen, but like, it's still fun to do.
Yep.
Yeah, so the first room had 4 giant vipers, 2 elite living bones in it. Yeah, these guys are old hat by this point. We kind of know what's going on there.
Yep.
We go in and start stabbing things.
Hurt is back in classic behavior.
Yes.
If you mean stabbing things and doing all the work, yeah, I'm pretty back to normal there.
I mean, all the work?
There he is.
Well, look, nobody needs help, so I'll get myself in a position where I need help instead.
That's fair.
That you did. That you did.
It's all right. Get in there and do a little bit of killing. Killing down the hallway. As the kids say,
no kids have ever said that.
Have they not? I'd like to think I'm pretty hip.
That's not a thing.
Oh, well. Brittany comes in killing the stun snake because God forbid she fight anything with the challenge. And then Maytal gets the retaliate going, which is nice.
I had limited movement, you chump. I didn't have rocket boots like you did.
Mm. Well, maybe some of us do more cardio.
I
don't do any cardio. Yeah. Anyway, Sherlock comes in, lays down some range attacks. We kill the snakes quick. It's not a big deal. They're easy kills. And then it's time to decide kind of what's next, right? We got to break into another room. We've got to clear all these rooms. And there's, you know, no forced path, but it kind of makes sense to do it a certain way.
Yeah. So, like, we kind of did what we had planned on doing. We broke through the room to the left and then started moving our way back towards the right to open up those doors as well.
Yeah. So that second room we broke into had two normal giant vipers, a normal night demon, an elite night demon, and three normal harrowers.
Yeah, and, you know, just two harrowers.
Oh, just the two. Sorry.
I had forgotten what a pain in my butthole harrowers are. Yes. And so I wasn't like afraid to run in there and do something about it when I really should have been.
Yeah. You ran into a few problems in there, didn't you, man?
Yeah. But so in this scenario, and I've talked about this card before, but this is where I really start making use of my level 9 card. That is attack everyone around me and disarm everybody. Like, and it's a 2 initiative. So, hey, I'll just jump in the middle. I'll disarm everybody. I'll be fine. Right. Because between that and then like an invisible turn, I've got like a 2 good turns of safety going on.
Yeah. And while you're doing that, I was smashing up walls across the map and revealed another room that had two giant vipers, a normal night demon, an elite night demon. That was the one with the 3 infestors in it.
Hmm.
And I stunned a skeleton in there, shot a harrower, and then started backing out. So you were working the room on the left. I was...
Oh, I think we spawned too many infestors in one of those rooms.
Maybe.
Yeah, it looks like there was only supposed to be 2 in each.
Oh, well, you know.
Bonus infestor.
A little extra lifting. Yeah. Anyway, I started kiting things out of that room while Herd is hitting things in that room, and then soon began kiting things out of that room because, yeah.
Well, they were hurting me, Casey.
Yeah, I know. That's what I was hinting at.
I really want to see like a heat map of Herd's movement on some of these scenarios. Because she is all over the place. She ended up from like one end of one room to the opposite end of the other room, hiding in a corner, begging us to kill all the things that were there.
Right. And by this point, Maytal's like has to bring out a second song.
Yeah. Yeah, so I picked up a card, I think, after last one or one before that allows me to play a second song, and the bottom half is actually a really nice one too. It's I think it's a like a move 3 and then an attack range 3 for 3 but or sorry the top half. I can't remember which one it was, but yeah, I played that early on, which is a loss, and then bringing out the second card, the second song, was nice, but I still only get 1 experience for both. But the problem with that is, you know, I've lost 2 cards when I have to do a rest.
Yeah.
So I either have to take them back, which means, you know, one of the songs is not playing basically, you know, for the next turn. But I chose to keep them out the entire time, which really drove my card count down quick. Like I'm pretty sure I was burning on fumes at the end. It was rough, but I think I brought out the disadvantage one, which worked really nicely with the retaliate. And the fact that I dump so many curses into their deck, that's what I spend most of my time doing. Because I don't have a lot of attacks, I end up cursing everything and blessing you know, the team when they're around.
And we didn't really mention that in the last scenario, but that is just such a great thing. Like, he regularly runs us out of curse cards to put in there. And so, you know, it's not at all uncommon for you just to get missed with like half the attacks that come against you. It's fantastic.
Which also combos really well with that retaliate, because you're able to do the retaliate damage without actually taking damage yourself.
Yeah. And then that second song can also be the they're always a disadvantage against you song. So then they've got a deck full of curses and they're a disadvantage. Like, you can almost tank anything at that point, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, almost.
Almost.
And it's really sad when you see the double miss from a curse, you know, when because they're at disadvantage. Yeah. It's sad seeing it, but yeah, I'll put it back into their deck after a couple of turns anyway. So
we'll get you back there.
So yeah, we ended up cleaning up the room at the left fairly quickly. I mean, there's enough help over there, right? And then we start bringing things in from the other room, kind of funneling them in. We did a good job of kind of positioning where they had to slow down a little bit to get around, kind of coming one at a time. We were able to thin that herd out pretty well. And then we started looking at the southernmost room. And I believe in that room, I think Brittany opened the wall down there, yeah. But I was like behind Brittany, like behind some rocks kind of taking cover, but I could still reach in with my ranged attack. So it, like whatever was going to be revealed in there, I was going to be able to hit.
Mm-hmm. And I'm way down the other hallway hiding behind a barrel because I'd gotten down to like one or two hit points. You know, things were looking a little rough in the herd world. So I'm trying to get all patched up and you guys are like, cool, we're breaking the wall.
Well, you can be there in like a turn. So
well, yeah.
I don't see what the problem is.
I don't know. It's the principle of these things.
When have you ever cared about the principle?
I have lots of principles.
I need the treasure.
Yeah.
So that room had one normal viper, which I think at this point was dead because you stunned it and then I finished it off.
Yeah.
And then an elite viper and two normal living bones, which is not really much at this point. Like,
yeah. I think we clogged up the path and basically chewed through them. It was a little kill box right in the doorway.
Yeah, it worked out real well. Then we only had two rooms left, and only one of them had enemies in it.
It was just two infestors, right? The elites?
Yep.
So it's basically these last two rooms are kind of sequential from the one we just busted into, so...
Yeah. And so we finish off the harrowers pretty easy. Then there's a final room, and so the scenario says reveal all rooms and kill all enemies, and that ends the scenario. We reveal that last room, and there's like a treasure chest in there, which like, I mean, technically you're supposed to end as soon as you reveal the rooms, but this was also like a chest you really, really needed to get. Like it wasn't a normal, I don't know, it's weird. It was like there's no way to actually get the chest unless you... Like somebody ended up, we played out the rest of the turn and somebody ended their movement on the chest and we got it. But it's like, I mean, that's kind of the whole point of going down here, it seemed like. So it was kind of a weird setup there.
Yeah.
So we took the chest.
Yeah, we did. We totally took the chest. I mean, it'd be a waste not to. There's no other way to get this chest. It was kind of a big deal. So,
yeah,
it was.
So, yeah, we only had the two scenarios tonight. But they were both pretty good. They're nice, solid. Well, good changes of pace. Both of them had some interesting stuff going on.
Yeah, they were each plenty unique in their own way, right? Like one with the AI help and the other one just with all these wall mechanics and stuff. And it was also nice to have a guest designer scenario that didn't make me think about suicide.
Yeah. I got to say, I was able to level up during this scenario, at the end of the scenario, and I got a really, really cool card out of it. And it is called, let me look up the name real quick. Yeah,
I think I know the one you're talking about.
Yeah, you do.
Yep.
All right. It is called Vengeance. Yeah, it's called Vengeance. Mm. The bottom, move 3, retaliate 1, affect an adjacent ally, and then I can burn any element and a light to make that retaliate 3 instead. But that doesn't really matter. The top is what matters. Attack 2, range 3, and like the little 3 triangle pattern. But I can burn a dark and any element to just kill all normal targets instead. Mm. And you combine that with my stamina potions, with the quartermaster's ability to get this. I can do this until we're out of normals. Like, it's just things are going to die, guys.
Yeah. And it's going to be good. I think I end up hitting level 6 that round.
Mm-hmm.
And I pulled, what is it called? The catastrophic bomb card. Which you look at it and there's this big swath of red hexes on the top. It's got range 3 and attack 1. So you can deal a bunch of damage, but like I can boost that. I can get like a power potion or something to knock that up. Or add an effect to it or something like that. That would be pretty cool.
Did anybody else level up this time? I know the scoundrel didn't.
I think I did. I got it like right on the dot for level 7, maybe, or I think it was seven.
I think you were seven, yeah.
Yeah, and I ended up taking...
You should be seven with all the experience you're getting.
Yeah, it was flying through. But I think I ended up taking a level six card. I think I'd taken two level fives before. I can't remember what it was. But this one was really nice. It was the triple pattern stun at range four. But the bottom is even nicer, which is it's an attack four at range four. But it also does a push three. So it's just waiting to push people into traps and, you know, hammer some good damage in. You know, the few times I actually get to use a card like this, so works out pretty well. But that's what I picked up.
Cool. Well, I think that about wraps it up for this time. Be sure to join us next time when, good news, we fight more oozes.
Woohoo! And remember, we are at GPub Radio on Twitter, misadventurespodcast.com. It's got links to all of our socials, contact methods, etc. We would love to hear how much you hate oozes as well, so hit us up on Twitter sometime. And we'll see you guys on the next episode.
You've been listening to Misadventures, a Gloomhaven podcast brought to you by Gamer.